Our 2022 year in review does continue, and while we mostly focus on good stories during the program, there's some bad stories as well, and that includes former Houston Texans, now Cleveland Browns quarterback, Deshaun Watson, who got a new team, got a new contract, but also was accused by multiple women of sexual misconduct, sexual assault. To talk about everything that happened to Deshaun Watson in 2022, we welcome on Cody Stutes, host of The Wheelhouse on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Cody, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, anytime. And man, this is it's kind of feels almost final to be talking about Deshaun Watson, but there's still some draft picks to be made, and there's still some rooting interest for Texans fans against him. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple of years. But it's as close to finished as it's ever been, I think.
Have you ever seen a story like this where it started with him wanting out of Houston, and then obviously the allegations start to pop up, and then the allegations become that much more credible, and they work through that. Eventually he gets traded. I mean, this story had a little bit of just about everything.
This guy went from, in 6 months, signing one of the most lucrative deals in the National Football League, running out of an organization. And that was one of the more unique and crazy aspects of the situation. And he was upset, it seems, even though he's never told his side of the story publicly, he was upset about how the general manager hiring went down and how the organization talked to him and treated him in their hiring of a new general manager. And he never gave the new GM a chance. He wanted out. And Nick Caserio took the job thinking, okay, well, if he wants out, then we'll just have to trade him. And then the allegations popped up to make it an even more unique and interesting story from a sports perspective and how a team handles it. And really, Deshaun Watson with the allegations and the Houston Texans with him on the team kind of got put on hold for a year. Watson didn't play. The Texans paid him $10 million to stay away. They couldn't trade him while a lot of the criminal investigation was open and while a lot of the civil suits were ongoing, and trading him became almost an impossibility for the Texans. They got close with the Dolphins, but Watson couldn't settle some of those legal things, and fans around Houston and media members in Houston tried to become, you know, pseudo lawyers and understand what and how and if and how these different things happen. But once the calendar turned and the news popped up that, hey, Deshaun Watson's not facing any criminal charges, and it was Nick Caserio's job once the season was over to trade him, it became a very interesting situation. And Nick Caserio did something revolutionary with the way that he found suitors for Deshaun Watson. He told everybody, submit your best offer. If you qualify, we'll continue to talk to you. Deshaun, what teams out of these teams do you like? Okay, you tell us which team you like the most. We'll talk with them. And then it became a very interesting scenario. It's the most unique trade request to me that will ever go down in the history of the National Football League. Considering 6 months prior, Deshaun Watson was totally happy to be with the organization maybe for the rest of his career, and then maybe a month or two after he requests the trade, bing, bang, boom, there's all this legal stuff that pops up, and then a year later he's traded. Goodness, it was one of the more unique stories you'll ever see in the history of the football.
Yeah, you know, some people are going to look at him and not like him because of the allegations of what he did. And clearly there's some version of truth somewhere in there, but what can also be true, he can be that guy, but he can also be a guy that was maybe correct about the Texans organization and the direction that they were going. And we've seen other changes happen in that organization where you almost feel dirty saying it, but in some ways what Deshaun Watson believed or said, or the reason he wanted out, there's almost a little bit more credibility to it now, it seems.
It's the worst team in football. It's one of the worst run organizations over the past few years in football. And Deshaun Watson, though he's never told his side of the story, the actions of the Texans, the results of the Texans kind of lend credibility to the football aspect of Deshaun Watson not wanting to trust his career and the rest of his career to the Houston Texans. It's going to be a long climb out of this. Bill O'Brien set this organization back with some of the moves that he made, not only the trade for Laremy Tunsil, which Tunsil's one of the best players at his position in all of football, but it was a costly trade that the Texans maybe didn't need to make when they had Deshaun Watson. Obviously getting next to nothing for DeAndre Hopkins when in the same offseason, but looks like the Bills and the Vikings both made incredible sides of a trade where the Bills have Stephon Diggs, the Vikings ended up getting Justin Jefferson. Like, this organization's in a bad spot, and Nick Caserio walked into a situation where he kind of had to hit the reset button. Bad contracts on the team. not a lot of talent on the team. They had a draft pick deficit, a young talent deficit. And with the Deshaun trade, he's going to be able to build that back up with these additional picks over the next couple of years. But they haven't spent money well when they have spent money under Caserio. It's a long, long climb back for the Texans. And it has added to the validity of people saying, well, Deshaun Watson, from a football standpoint, again, Deshaun Watson had things right when he decided that he didn't want to entrust his future to the Houston Texans. They certainly have made that aspect of Watson's request and desires true with the results that they've been able to put together in the year that he was on the team and didn't play, and the year that he has been on the Browns and the Texans have been the worst team in football.
Want to go back to the allegations, and for a while there it really felt like they were gonna go all the way with this, and there wasn't going to be a settlement, and Tony Busby as a lawyer kind of leading the way, and then all of a sudden they were able to mostly settle. What happened? What changed? Obviously, for a deal to get done, that probably had to happen, but how did it get to the point where they were able to settle?
It got to the point where Deshaun Watson really wanted to make sure that he had some of the non-criminal aspects of the conversation eliminated from the discussion of Deshaun Watson. I think that was a big thing for him in the decision-making process of the NFL and how they were going to punish Deshaun Watson. How many of these cases are open? How many of these cases are going to go all the way into trial? What nastiness from the Deshaun side and the accuser side? And oh, by the way, the involvement of one of the NFL's 32 franchises will pop up. It became a very interesting, we do not want to see this in the inside of a courtroom from really any perspective. These women did not want to go into a courtroom and have to go in, he said, she said, with a professional athlete. Deshaun didn't want to go in there and be embarrassed when he had to talk about some of the things he'd been accused of. And certainly the Houston Texans, now they settled with a bunch of women as well, they didn't want to see the inside of a courtroom either from this aspect. And so I don't believe anybody truly wanted to see the inside of a courtroom in these civil suits. And so there was an agreement by both sides for most of the cases that they're going to put that behind them. And by virtue of that, nobody's ever really going to talk about it either. And Deshaun's got, a couple of active cases still against him. And so that gives him the ability to kind of say, hey, legally, I don't want to talk about this. Plus, you have to imagine when you make these kind of settlements, there's going to be a comment in there about nobody's telling anybody's story. This side's not telling about Deshaun. Deshaun's not telling about that side. And so for that aspect, that keeps Deshaun safe. That keeps the women safe. And if there was an agreement to a monetary level with all those cases, you know, it was enough for the cases to get settled in that way. But it was all about Deshaun trying to lighten the sentence. Remember, the NFL rumored wanted an indefinite suspension, which would have been the worst case scenario for Deshaun, because then he doesn't get credit for this contract year. He pushes a whole contract year back. Then it was a full season, so it would have been 17 games. And then it was like, well, you know, maybe he plays. And then while they're deciding, maybe the suspension injures two parts of a season. So Deshaun getting to a settlement point with the NFL was really important for him. But to get to that point with the NFL, he had to get to that point with his accusers as well.
At one point, there was a report that said the Texans had helped him with hotel rooms, and they may not have known exactly what was going on, but they were involved. They were providing some things, reportedly. How much culpability is there on the Texans for the entire situation?
Doesn't feel like much. This is an organization that, when Deshaun was accused of doing some of these things, Jack Easterby was heavily involved in this organization. Easterby is a very faith-forward man. The Texans are a faith-forward organization. And that is not something that they would have supported, even for their franchise quarterback. And had they known he was doing some of these things, had they known throughout the entirety of the organization that something like this could have popped up, they never would have given him one of the biggest contracts in the history of the National Football League to be their quarterback for a long time. Because remember, the timeline of when he's accused of doing some of these things is before he signs the contract extension with the organization. There's going to be people that say the Texans could have asked more questions, could have talked more. Said when a security guy has asked for an NDA from Deshaun Watson, that could have gone up the flagpole a little bit more. And yes, those are things that are true, but I don't believe the Houston Texans in any way, shape, or form knew Deshaun Watson was doing what he was accused of doing with these women. Did they think that maybe he was having some extra massages outside the facility? Certainly. Would that have been fairly unique to your typical athlete? Yes, it would have been, but I don't believe the Texans are at fault here. But certainly people are going to see that they settled with, I believe, 30 women. I think that is the number. And they're going to say, well, the Texans knew something or felt like there was some exposure. Sir, they also don't want to try 30 different cases in a civil court against these women and have that get drug out for a very long time, be in the public eye. The Texans settled for whatever they settled for and got rid of that part of the conversation. So I don't believe the Texans were at any fault here. You're going to have, like, anytime an athlete messes up, there's going to be questions about whatever organization he's with. Did they have questions? People are going to say the Texans didn't. I don't believe the Texans did anything harmful intentionally here.
Last thing for you. What was your takeaway of the contract that he got from Cleveland that backloaded so much money, almost mortgaging against the idea of a suspension early on?
That's an absolutely pathetic move by the Cleveland Browns to make sure that they get Deshaun Watson. He didn't want to go there, and he only wanted to go to Cleveland until they ponied up the big money. I don't know how Deshaun Watson getting a new contract popped up into these conversations. I don't know why any of these organizations, and I know the Carolina Panthers told him to take a hike, and the Atlanta Falcons were pretty worried about their ability to fit a contract of that type in there. I don't know how a guy led a 4-12 football team, then didn't play a year, and then all of a sudden became the richest contract in the history of the National Football League. I don't know how that occurred. But Cleveland, to make sure that Deshaun Watson wanted to forego the opportunity to play in Atlanta or maybe Carolina or even New Orleans, to get Deshaun Watson there, the Cleveland Browns needed to go to that level. But I don't know how that conversation popped up. It was an embarrassment that the Cleveland Browns gave him that contract. Other owners are upset about it. Agents are upset because it makes contract negotiations more difficult for them with their guys. I hated that contract. I believe it's going to look like a bad contract as well. It's something that could hamstring the organization down the road. They've got a lot of expensive contracts on that team and a lot of necessary expenses on that team. I think it's going to be a bad deal for the Browns in the long run from a financial standpoint. But if they get the success on the field, they will not care about that. That's the biggest thing that I feel like the Haslams and Andrew Berry, the general manager, if they're succeeding on the field, they'll deal with all the other criticism of that situation, why they traded for a guy who was an accused sexual predator, why they gave him the biggest contract guaranteed in NFL history. They'll deal with all that as long as he's a good football player. Now it's up to Deshaun Watson. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but it's up to Deshaun Watson to prove them right. And look, we've seen this before in the National Football League. Guys who have been convicted of taking other people's lives have played in the National Football League, again, with some drunk driving incidents and some DUIs, manslaughters, and things like that. They played the National Football League. So if you play good enough football, somebody's going to give you an opportunity. The Browns gave him that opportunity, and now he's got to make them right with his play on the field. 700 days between football, and it's one of the longest droughts of someone not playing football. Michael Vick went over 1,000 days between NFL starts. Watson went 700 days between starts. It may be 2023's football season before you see a semblance of Deshaun Watson, and that's what the Cleveland Browns desperately need.
He is Cody Stutes. He hosts The Wheelhouse on ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Cody, thank you so much for your time and looking back on this story from 2022.
It's almost over. Only two more years of draft picks, and then we won't ever have to talk about Deshaun Watson in Houston ever again. I think. We'll see.
Very good. Thank you.
Anytime.
Cody Stutes joining us. Up next, we wrap up hour number one of the program by looking back at the Super Bowl on the Sports Map Radio Network.